Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Today, two warriors join us. They are both waging battles on behalf of America's kids. We met up with retired UFC fighter and Army veteran Tim Kennedy and Pastor John Amanchukwu at CPAC. They both have a lot to say about the importance of men and fathers fighting for the needed change in our country and in our schools. That's coming up next. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Carlitis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. So glad that you're joining us this week, Mama. Every week we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. Well, usually in the podcast, we usually talk to the moms, but today we're talking to the dads. Yes, we're bringing you two interviews with real warriors who are on the front lines for America and for our children. Tim Kennedy has a lot of titles. He's a best-selling author. He's also a master sergeant in the U.S. Army and a Green Beret sniper. He has received many awards, badges, and honors for his military service. Tim made his MMA debut in 2001, and in 2013, he became a fighter with the UFC. Now he's retired from fighting, but he's in the ring fighting for our country, and he's fighting for our kids. All right, look who's stopping by in the Moms for America podcast booth here. Master Sergeant U.S. Army, Green Beret sniper, entrepreneur, best-selling author, black belt, former UFC fighter. What else haven't you done?
Oh, man, I mean, it's a mouthful.
Look at the, well,
yeah, there's a lot more to do, though.
Right,
yeah.
There is, and welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Thanks for everything that you do.
Thank you.
Love Moms for America, and I'm just so thrilled to see all your advocacy for so many of the issues that I care about,
yes.
Especially like in education,
yes.
Freedom and sovereignty for the family, the importance of the family in America, and how it's the backbone of everything that is American.
Yes.
So I'm just so thrilled to get to talk to you and everything that you guys fight for.
Yeah. Well, fighter to fighter, right? Moms are fighters, too,
vicious,
different type of fighter.
Powerful. There's nothing more scary than the mama bear.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, thanks so much, Tim, for everything that you're doing. We became friends probably about a month ago at
That's
the inauguration, had a chance to meet you. And then my son said, Tim Kennedy, because he loves jiu-jitsu and UFC, he goes, he's a legend. We love him.
Yeah.
So no more fighting, though.
Not
that kind of fighting.
No, we got a lot of fights ahead of us. That's for sure. With change, there's always friction and there's always resistance. And we have a lot of change to institutions that have been, quite frankly, anti-American. So those fights we know are ahead of us, and I'm here for them. I'm down to fight, and I know you are as well.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about a couple things. I know you're on the stage. You're on a panel.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's called Rebuilding the Military. What's your message at CPAC on that panel? Military, obviously.
Yeah, I think we've lost, as a father of four amazing children, there's a period of time that I didn't have confidence that the military and America was going in the direction that I wanted my kids to be putting their lives and limbs on the line to fight for. And with Pete Hegseth and as Secretary of Defense, generals like General George and the Sergeant Major of the Army, Mike Weimer, and Doug Collins as the Secretary of the VA.
I mean, come on.
Tulsi Gabbard as the new Director of National Intelligence. Mike Waltz.
Good stuff.
As the new National Security Advisor.
Right.
These are all combat veterans, and all of them care so deeply for this country, and they have fought desperately to save it, and they've continued to serve in every way. And that just gives me such confidence about where we're headed and we're going to be doing on our way there.
Yeah. So when you're on the panel, what's your advice? What do you want to do with the military?
Yeah, so Senator Sheehy, it really doesn't matter what I want to do.
I mean, your advice,
yeah,
I should say.
They're already doing it.
Okay.
This rapid transformation of focusing on lethality and standards, interoperability, making sure that we are a fast, agile military. The old way of the military being like this slow maneuvering element, the war of World War II is never going to happen again. Mm. We're never going to be in that war. We're going to be fighting cartels, corporations, proxies of peers, right, like Hezbollah and Hamas and the Houthis. Like, that's us fighting Iran, just right, before we're clear. Everybody's like, oh, we're doing this with our partner in Israel. Right. No, what we're doing is fighting Iran, that is then spending hundreds of millions of dollars to support these terrorist organizations that then attack us and our allies and are trying to create opportunities that will be catalysts for all-out warfare, because that's what they want.
Right.
They want to destabilize the regions. And we are building America that is going to be focused, a military that's focused on lethality and strength. Right. Strength is a harder thing to kill.
Strength through peace.
Yes. The deterrence of a strong military, where our peer-level adversaries, they're going to look at our military and be like, nah.
You're not going to mess with
this
you guys.
This is not worth it.
Right.
You know?
And that's what we've got to bring back.
We have to.
That is the new renaissance for America, because they destroyed the military.
Yeah. Right? They destroyed our men.
They destroyed our men.
And they've been,
yes,
the men have been under attack for 20 years.
Right.
You know, what
demasculize them.
Yeah, what does it mean to be a man? Is masculinity something that we need to embrace? And not only is it something that we need to embrace, it's something that has to be encouraged,
yeah,
something that has to be shaped and harnessed. And, you know, as a father to a son and a father to three daughters, seeing them, I just walked my first daughter down the aisle.
Aww.
And, you know, be
did
able
to. Did you cry? I just have to know.
No, I kept it together.
You kept it together.
I did cry,
okay,
just not in front of my daughter or my son-in-law, who clearly understands that he'll be buried in a place that will never be found if he hurts my daughter. But being a man is back.
Yes.
You know, and a man.
We need the men.
We desperately need them, and we have not had them. And it's time for men to stand up for women. It's time for men to stand. We let men enter into women's sports. We let men compete against women in swimming, running, boxing. We had men punching women in the face.
What is
and
going
on? Men stood by and allowed it to happen.
Right.
And it's our, we are built beautifully different. It's
right,
one of the many things that I care about in our school and our education, Apogee Strong. Like, we are bringing masculinity back in the form and the shape that it's supposed to exist, which is a protector, which,
yeah,
is a provider, which is a preserver of human life.
Yes.
And
let the women be the nurturers, the cultivators, the,
yeah,
teachers in the home.
The beautiful thing,
right,
that they are.
The homemakers.
That's, if they want to be.
Right.
But then creating environments where it's safe and conducive for them to do that, where they can be financially stable and they can, like, see the beautiful potential that is the fruition of being a beautiful mom.
Yeah.
You know?
There's nothing like it.
Nothing.
We say moms are the greatest influencers in their home. I mean, the husband, the wife, the male, the female, it was divinely created and it should not be messed with.
No.
We cannot redefine it. So thank you for speaking out so much on it. I do want to talk a little bit about your book that you wrote, Scars and Stripes, Unapologetically American Story of Fighting the Taliban, UFC Warriors, and Myself.
Yeah.
Give us a quick clip about the book so we can let everybody know they just might want to get it.
Yeah, Scars and Stripes, hard book to write.
Yeah.
Scars, like, obviously all over my face from fighting, and my body from serving. And then the stripes are the stripes that you get in the military for your time in service, both overseas and in uniform. And you just get those from doing hard things. That book is about failure. It's the arc of my life from as a child, you know, hunting people that escaped from mental institutions, 100% true story, to being a firefighter, police officer, going to the military. All of these moments are about you know, vulnerability and selflessness of service. And that's the story, is all the ways that I messed up, all the ways that I failed, and hopefully smarter people cannot make the same mistakes that I made.
Well, I love that, because everyone fails,
yeah,
differently. Everybody has a different book.
Yeah.
Right? And through your failure is how you succeed.
Yeah.
You know, when you fall, you get up.
Yeah, pain is this necessary mechanism, catalyst of change. And people, for the past, the human condition, for the past generation or two, we've gotten so complacent and comfortable because it's been so good, right?
Right.
We haven't had to do hard things, but you get stronger from doing hard things. So I lift weights, my muscles are like, oh, I can't do it. Pain is happening, and they tear, and they grow back stronger. And that is how discipline, and that is how grit is forged. It's through doing hard things. I'm writing another book right now called The Purpose of Pain. And to that point, it is all about embracing the opportunities to do
like
hard
pain,
things.
Though.
but there, it's,
I know.
It's necessary.
It's necessary.
It's just
I
a
know.
Necessary catalyst of change.
And, it's, and I think once we address that, we all are more comfortable with it.
Yeah. Yes.
Right? Yeah.
And our government is about to go through a period of struggle, adversity, and change. And there will be pain associated with that.
Right.
But it's a necessary component of improvement.
Yeah.
So you can throw stones at the way that Doge is going about their business, but there will be friction, there will be struggles, there will be adversarial moments,
right.
And these are necessary moments for positive change in our country, and we desperately need it.
Yeah. Well, last thing, let's talk a little bit about education.
Oh man, this my is, favorite topic.
I know, I hate to put it on the last question, but there's so many things to talk about. This has become a huge passion of yours. Give us a quick intro to what you're doing regarding the educational system.
And so Apogee Strong, it is a nationwide movement, a few hundred locations now, where schools, families, co-op, homeschooling parents getting together to bring freedom and sovereignty back into the home and into the family. Marriages are being saved when men start taking ownership of their household and their responsibilities and recognizing they have to lead from the front, they have to get up early, they have to be healthy, they have to get real sleep, they have to put down the bottle, they have to like stop going to have a great time. You know, like I'm not saying like don't go to a poker night, but if there's times that you can spend with your family and your children, spend time with the family and children. Like I, obviously we're at CPAC. This is an important moment. I cannot wait to be home.
Oh,
I cannot wait
right.
to be with my wife. I cannot wait to be with my kids. And I desperately want to be leading in the home to provide for them. And that is what's happening in Apogee with the movement of education. It's creating conducive environments to learn, to create critical thinkers that understand entrepreneurship, what it means.
Is it
to,
a program that's going into the school or is it a school?
It's both.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure I understand that.
Yeah, we have online mentorship. So a lot of people that are looking for physical locations that they can put their kids, you can go to Apogee Strong and look for a school.
Apogee Strong.
If you live in North Austin, come to my school. Come to Apogee Cedar Park. We're going to be opening another location in the Liberty Hill area. So like, those are my schools. Would love you to be there. But there's 200 schools, so you can find one. If you don't live near one of those locations,
right.
and there's more opening.
We're all across the country, our moms.
And you want to open a school, go to Apogee Strong and open your own school.
How are you saying, what are you saying? Spell out Apogee Strong. So
APOGEE.
Okay.
STRONG.com. ApogeeStrong.com.
Okay.
And these people go through this mentorship program of Apogee Strong, where they learn the responsibility of being leaders of their homes and their roles. There's lots of different forms that takes, and every single one of them ends up being different. And our schools, our locations are independent. So each one of the campuses are different. But everybody has a shared mission, the shared vision of a strong home, a strong household with grit, discipline, and the cornerstones of education being present, math, science, history, health, and then off they go to make the world a better place.
Right. Well, education is key to every child,
it
every
is.
Home, every family. So thank you for giving some alternatives. Thank you for discussing it. And again, have everyone check that out. See what's available in their area. If not, do it online.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're going to rebuild America on the foundation of family.
That's right.
So thank you, Tim.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Appreciate it.
Great seeing you.
Well, I love what Tim stands for and what he's doing to help educate our kids. Right after this break, another freedom fighter joins us. He's determined to free our kids from sexualized content in our schools. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, If you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit HerzogFoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at HerzogFoundation.com.
You know, I've never really felt comfortable sharing pictures of my kids on social media. Then I found Tubu, a premium social app with an actual authentic community. No bots, no one trolling me or my family. Just clean, wholesome content you can trust.
All right, welcome back, moms. Before we continue, I'd like to invite you to like, subscribe, and share our podcast, please, with your mama friends. We surely would appreciate that. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for our podcast, please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I would love to hear from you. Lastly, I want to invite all of our moms that are listening to join the movement here at Moms for America. I surely hope that you're a part of our tribe. It's moms like us uniting all across the country to fight for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. How do you join? It's super easy. Go to momsforamerica.us, sign up for our newsletter, fill out our forms if you have any questions, if you would like any assistance, and take advantage of all our incredible resources, seminars, and webinars. Again, momsforamerica.us. Our next guest is Pastor John Amachukwu. He is an influential preacher, author, and an activist who is passionately advocating for America's children. Here at CPAC, we ran into an incredible man. I know that many of you, the moms, have seen him speaking out, video footage across the country, really exposing the fact that terrible curriculum, sexual, hypersexual curriculum is being shared, pushed in the schools, and he has been so vocal. I know you recognize him. Thank you, Pastor John, for joining us today in the Moms for America podcast.
Listen, I've made a new friend, you all. Deb. I don't call it Debbie, it's Deb.
Deb.
Right? Krolitis.
Yes.
And I'm Pastor John Amachukwu. Just a brief story on the last name. Amachukwu means I know God.
How did you get this last name?
My father. And so he came to the U.S. in the early 70s.
Yeah?
Met my mother in Elizabeth City, North Carolina.
Okay.
They came together. And years later, here I come.
It's
a powerful name. The last name has great meaning. He's from Nigeria. From the Igbo dialect. And so I'm also blessed to be able to say that I do know God as my personal Savior.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Pastor. Yes. I didn't want to try your name I've got one of those names that people hack up. So
no issue.
Thank you for the explanation. Thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah.
Thank you for being vocal. We see a lot of moms out there hitting it.
Yes.
Talking about the curriculum, exposing it, talking about the gender, the critical
That's
issues
right.
that are affecting the kids.
Right.
Not as many dads.
That's true. And I want to say first and foremost.
So thank you, Dad.
Hats off to all of the courageous mama bears.
Right.
What I call feminine warriors who are out there fighting and standing for truth. We celebrate you. But it's time for the potato chip, M&M eating, Skittles eating, Twizzler eating men to get off of the couch.
Yes.
And go out there and stand in the gap.
Yeah.
And to support the family.
Right.
You know,
and
I believe
in the fathers.
We do. We need the fathers, you know. But sadly today, men are perplexed and confused on how to properly use their masculinity.
That's true.
So if a man is too aggressive and assertive, if he's alpha, we say that's toxic masculinity.
Right.
If a man is beta and reserved and slumped over and, you know, he doesn't really speak up, doesn't bark, doesn't cause any problems, then that man is labeled as being beta.
Right.
And so men are on this constant pendulum of how do I respond, what do I say, what do I do?
Right.
And so part of what I'm doing is reawakening that male, masculine tone and voice for men to stand beside the mama bears.
That's right.
And help save our families.
So much stronger if we have our husbands in the fight.
I agree.
And we just need the men. We need the dads up there. So thank you for what you're doing.
How did you find the curriculum? How did this become a passion?
Right.
We've been talking about it. I mean, a lot of people are reading it,
sure,
you know, at the school board meetings, but you took it to a new level, I would say.
Well,
I appreciate that.
You're
thank
kind.
You.
You know, I've now traveled to 18 states.
Wow.
Speaking up and fighting for children, fighting against gender theory, queer theory, and critical race theory, and against
DEI. Would you ever
DEI.
Think that we'd have to even be fighting against things like this in the schools? I mean, who would have known?
Never, but there's been a plan afoot for decades,
sure has, yeah.
Right? A woman by the name of Alice Bailey wanted to deconstruct America, in particular to dethrone
sure
Christianity. Number one, she wanted to remove prayer in the public school system. We saw that took place in 1962
sure
after
did.
The Engle v. Vitale court
that's right.
case. Also, she wanted to rob parents of their parental rights.
Clearly.
And so we're in that big mess today because the Christian church, not simply just the male
right.
men, but
where's
the Christian church, has failed to address this issue
right.
because many of our pastors are weak and spineless and broken. You know, they're afraid to ruffle feathers.
Yeah, sure.
And so I've now been to 18 states, and we've been able to amass over 300 million views, and we've been able to flip
incredible.
School boards and strike down transgender policies.
Expose.
That's right.
And that's what you've done.
Indeed. And we've been able to remove dozens of pornographic books from bookshelves all around this country. I created a new documentary, 22 Words. You can go to 22wordsfilm.com.
I see this on here. How cool is this?
Yes.
Tell us about that one.
And you, the documentary comes from the 22 words that was in the original school-sponsored prayer that wicked women like Alice Bailey and Madeline Murray O'Hare wanted to remove from the public school system. And so the prayer says, Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon thee, and we beg thy blessings upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country.
Amen.
Such a simple prayer, a prayer that did not invoke the name of Allah, of Buddha, or even the name of Jesus Christ, but just a simple prayer that children would recite. And Madeline Murray O'Hare did not want that to take place. She didn't want her son William to recite that prayer. And so I put together this documentary to show that the American education system has gone from prayer to porn. From
so
prayer
true.
To transgenderism.
Right.
From prayer to pornographic books being on the bookshelves. From prayer to critical race theory, where now white students are being told that they are inherently racist because of their pigmentation.
Right.
And black students are lifted up as proverbial victims.
Right. The oppressed and the oppressor.
Exactly, you know, which is really Marxism, right? Cultural Marxism.
They're just rebranding it again.
Exactly.
And they remessage it, and they mm-hmm. put new words on it. And thankfully, a lot of people have been speaking up
yeah.
and noticed it right away.
That's right.
But I mean, it took a while.
It did.
It took a while for people to figure this out.
True.
But when they did, boom.
Right. The pandemic really opened a can of worms because moms were at home and thinking to themselves, okay, why are they talking about racial consciousness? And why are you asking my son about his pronouns?
Right.
You know, there are 70...
In kindergarten.
Kindergarten.
What's your pronoun?
Exactly. You know, there are 72 different genders today.
Right.
You know, that's why I don't get into the whole gender conversation. It's Genesis 1:27 for me.
Right.
Where the Bible talks about God creating us in his image, male and female.
Right.
That is the construct that God created. I support that. I'm here because of the male and female construct, you know? Yeah. You're here because of the male and female construct.
Undeniable.
Without it, life is impossible.
Right.
And so I'll tell you a brief story. I recently went to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and read from this book here entitled It Feels Good to Be Yourself. It's a book about gender identity, right? But when you open the jacket of this book, this is what it says. It says, some people are boys. That's true. Some people are girls, true. Some people are both, neither, or somewhere in between.
Wow.
Now keep in mind, this book is made available to kids ages 4 through 8.
I was going to say, this looks like you're marketing to about a kindergartner or first grader.
That's right.
That's what it looks like.
Then the book goes on to talk about being transgender and being cisgender and being non-binary. The average 4-year-old.
What a confusing journey this is.
It is.
To a child that should not be thinking about gender.
Right. And here's the thing.
They know their sex.
Yes, they know it.
And then they've got to take a journey on what's my gender?
Right. That's right. I heard someone recently say that if a child is at the age of 6 or 8, and they think that they are transgender, that their mom has a mental illness. And if they are if they are 18 and think that they have that they're transgender, then they have a mental illness.
Wow.
I want to make this clear, because today disagreement equals hate, but it shouldn't.
What a great
I can
point.
Disagree yeah. with the person and not hate them.
Respectfully, even.
Respectfully.
And honor, you know, you don't have to agree.
Sure.
But, you know, you have an opinion, I have an opinion.
Right.
And I do think, maybe I'm curious what you see across the country.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times I think we meet in the middle more than people will even
sure.
give.
Sure, sure.
Because,
sure.
you know, a lot of people don't want their children to be confused.
Right.
They know that they know that they have some kind of issue if they're talking about their gender.
Right. Right.
We know that that is a sickness.
Sure,
it's always
sure.
has been.
It is.
You know, and we want to make them better and whole.
Mm-hmm.
But they're pursuing the problem instead of fixing the problem.
That's right. Yeah, I agree with that, you know. But ideas have to be challenged.
Yes.
Right? That's a part of education.
Yes.
Challenge the ideas.
Yes.
But there are non-negotiables.
That's right.
Right? There's things that we should have zero tolerance for.
Right.
We should have a zero 100%. Tolerance for this kind of smut to be placed on bookshelves. And I must mention that the board voted a month later to remove this book.
So that's
a great triumph, and that's a great victory. I'm now going to 16 states this year, and we're in the infancy of planning out those states and where I'm going to travel and where I'm going to go to. I'll say this. I've been labeled as a white supremacist for my work, and I'm as black as they come, as you can tell,
yes.
right? You know, this is a real
black
brother.
You have a white
brother.
Shirt on. That's about
exactly.
all I see. Okay.
This is not Justin Trudeau black face on me, okay?
Right.
This is a real black guy. I went to California.
Which is why it makes this so powerful.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I went to California and delivered a message entitled 10 Things That Black Students Don't Need in Education. I said that we don't need the soft bigotry of low expectations. I said that we don't need white liberals telling us that they know what's best for us, then we know it's best for ourselves.
That's right.
I said that we don't need critical race theory and affirmative action and DEI. Man, a few days later, I'm a white supremacist now. And so I wake up in the morning, I look at my beautiful black wife, and I just tell her, baby, I just want to be the best white man that I can possibly be to you, right? I want to love you like a white man, walk like a white man, talk like a white man. I guess I'm dressed like a white man today, right? It makes no sense. It's insanity.
Yeah.
But really what they're trying to do is to demonize me and
sure.
bludgeon me to the point that I won't
discredit
speak up,
you.
Right? They want to discredit me,
yeah.
but my arguments can't be
no.
discredited.
Tell us about when you go and you read this.
Yes.
What are the reactions? Do they shut your microphone off?
Okay.
Do they kick you out?
You want to go there.
I want to just hear a little
right.
bit of that.
They censor me by cutting the live feed
sure.
from YouTube.
Right.
Right, because there's more people who can see it via YouTube versus who's in the room. I've even had in situations where in Vero Beach, Florida, they came and took my microphone out of my hand. I've also been handcuffed.
As you're reading from the book.
As I'm reading from the book.
Which is on their shelves.
Which is on their bookshelf.
Or in
right?
the reading program.
Exactly.
Or their summer reading program. Horrible.
I agree. You know, the Snowflake board members want the kids to have access to it. But they don't want to deal with me rubbing their nose
in it, right.
In a school board meeting. And that's exactly what I do.
I
rub their nose in it. And I've been handcuffed as well for this fight.
Yeah.
You know, I've been kicked out of nearly 7 school board meetings, sometimes as many as 6 cops who rush in, grab me by the arm, and they kick me out of the building. I went to Baltimore, Maryland recently. I went to Baltimore, Maryland, and keep in mind, Baltimore, that area, it's predominantly black school board. The CEO of schools makes $490,000 a year, but the kids can't read or write. The law enforcement department was pretty much black, but they called a citywide emergency on me when I showed up to speak at the school board meeting. Just one man.
Wow.
And in Baltimore, of all places, high crime, high murder rate, high violence, you know.
To go there and expose.
Right, to address this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the terrible social emotional learning that they're teaching. They called a citywide emergency on me.
Wow.
And see, they want to suppress the truth.
Right.
And as a black man in this country, I'm not supposed to say the things that I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be pro-racism, right, because of the past. I'm supposed to hate my white brothers and sisters because of the past.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to speak against DEI.
Right.
I'm not supposed to wear this hat.
You're not allowed to.
And so
now,
that's it.
I do know you're getting a rap.
Yeah.
Can you just, to the moms.
Sure.
That are right here on the camera.
To the moms.
Give them your words of advice about doing what you're doing, being an exposer
right.
for the cause. Because
right.
you're just got an encouraging word for them, both
sure.
from faith to family.
Right. Well, hey, first and foremost, to all of the moms out there, I want to thank you for standing strong and courageously and for being bold. Now I want you to bring your husband into the room. Hey, dude, we need you. More than ever. It's time for you to man up. God gave you something called masculinity and testosterone. Your wife would benefit from you using your voice and going down to the local school board meeting, because there's nothing like a masculine voice standing behind a lectern and a podium and contending for the nuclear family. Your children, in particular, even your son needs to see that modeled out through you, Dad. So, hey, do me a big favor. Enjoy your time with the boys. Tinker with the car. Enjoy lifting weights. But please be a real man. Be a Renaissance man. Be a revolutionary man and defend your family.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Hey, thank you.
You
thank
are
you.
Your new great friend of Moms for America.
That's right. Thank you. Thank
Thanks
you.
So much.
God bless you. I appreciate you.
Well, I sure love what Pastor John is saying about the dad stepping up and being a masculine voice at the board meetings, because it's mostly been the moms at the board meetings. So dads, we need you there. And dads, you need to be an example to your sons. And we need that strong voice speaking loudly at these board meetings. Be an example. In case you haven't seen Pastor John in action as that strong man of God, I'm going to let you take a look at some footage.
I'm here to read from a book entitled Push by Sapphire. This book depicts racism. It depicts incest, molestation. A father rapes his daughter and impregnates her twice. The mother fondles the daughter as well and causes her to climax and have an orgasm. Shiver orgasm in me, his body shaking. Grab me, call me fat mama, big hole. You love it. Say you love it. I want to say I don't. I want to say I'm a child. But my popping grease and frying pan. He's slamming me again, his off. He starts my This is a father talking about his daughter. He on me almost every night. First, it's just in my mouth. Then it's more and more. He is intercourse in me. Say I can take it. Look you, don't even bleed. Virgin girls bleed. You're not virgin, you're seven. This needs to be removed tonight. You got your, I got a gavel too. Here is the gavel. That's my gavel. The gavel is the truth. You're either a punk or a pervert. A punk or a pervert if you don't remove this book. That's what you are. All six men on this board, you're a punk or a pervert if you don't remove it.
Well, this is definitely hard for us to listen to as parents and adults. Just think of what this is doing to the innocent minds, our kids, to their very hearts and their souls. So thank you, Pastor John, for speaking up. Thank you for getting these books removed. Thank you, Tim, you know, for fighting for our kids and providing just a great option for education. Alrighty, as always, thanks to you moms for being a part of this program. We sure hope that you're a part of our tribe. Please check out momsforamerica.us, join the movement. We have everything that you need on your journey through motherhood. We're here to support you, from parental rights to public policy, from the kitchen table to Congress. Moms for America has it all. So please check us out, join the movement. All issues are mom issues. That's why we're here. And as always, moms, we're going to keep changing our country, one home at a time. God bless you, and I'll talk to you next week. A special thank you to our sponsors, the Herzog Foundation and TUVU. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.